You know, now that Matt is living here, it's not this 10-minute process to get our computer switched over to the PowerPoint. And that is wonderful.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. All right. So iHeartGo, you guys may have heard of it. We've been talking about it for a while. Welcome to the Bloomington Church of Christ. And what I want to share with you this morning is this idea of Lego stories, which we just heard a couple this morning, so this is happening right now. Hayden and Alyssa came up and shared some stories about Lego, which means loving God and others every day. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a man in the Old Testament whose name is Daniel and how he lived this out. We've been talking about this theme of how the men of the Bible were passing the torch to us. And we get to carry that torch for a time, and then we get to pass it on too. But we're going to talk about that. But first, shout out to all the moms out there.
Yeah.
It is, in fact, Mother's Day. I live with a mother right there, my beautiful wife. This here is a card that apparently I wrote when I was a child. It surfaced on Facebook recently, or Fakebook, depending on. Anyway, I don't remember writing this, but it sounds like something I would have said. It says, "Thanks, Mom. You have always been there for me. I really appreciate you, Mom. I'm glad that I have you for a mother and not some drug dealer. Love, kids." So my childhood is chock full of these cards that look like really sweet, and then something happened. So I am preaching today, so this is your one warning. It's going to be a bad pun day, so this is your bad pun alert. But let's go ahead and get started.
All right, there we go.
So we're talking about Daniel. And who was Daniel? I can tell you that he was a bona fide stud. It actually says so right in the Bible.
Come on.
So we're going to turn over to Daniel in our Bibles. What? Not electronic? I have this really elaborate bookmarking system, so bear with me. Maybe it should have been electronic, huh? All right. In Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, we get to a little information about Daniel. So the background here, if you aren't familiar, is at this time in the history of God's people, the Israelites had not been obeying God. And so, many, many years went by, and God gave us many chances, and the end result was God had them exiled to Babylon, kind of as a timeout. And so Daniel lives during this time where God allowed them to be captured into exile in Babylon, and we pick up the story here in Daniel 1, verse 3. It says, "The king ordered Ashpenaz," whoever that was, the chief of his court officials, "to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar." So there's Daniel. You know, he's one of these guys who was, it literally calls him handsome, you know, and smart. And so he's this smart, handsome, talented guy. And so, you know, the 3 years go by. We're going to pick it up, same chapter, verses 18 through 20. It says, "At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, enchanters, basically all the smart guys in his kingdom." That's what they called him back then. So Daniel is this handsome guy, and we're going to actually flip over to chapter 6 and see what happens with his story here. He kind of sets himself apart. So if we look at 6:1-4, it says, "It pleased Darius," so this is another king. He actually had 3 kings who loved him and made him number one. So this is one of them. "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy, neither corrupt nor negligent. So these guys were so peanut butter and jealous of Daniel.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Work that into your everyday conversations if you can. So, you know, these guys, Daniel was, he was just a guy with integrity. You know, he did his job and he did it well and he was talented. And so these guys were kind of upset about it. So they hatched a plan. And so the first thing we're going to talk about today is how did Daniel show love for his for our God? How did he love God? And the first thing we're going to talk about is how he valued God more than his own life. So if we pick it up here, it said, "Finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.' So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den.'" And so the king does this. He makes this edict. And if we pick it up in 12 here, or in 10, it says, "Now Daniel learned that the decree had been published, and what did he do? He went home to his upper stairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before." So we had this edict for 30 days. Don't pray to anyone but the king. You know, don't say anyone is above the king. Daniel hears about it, and he immediately goes upstairs, opens his windows, and prays to God. So he didn't really follow the rule there. But the thing about it is, he knew the consequences. He knew that the king had put a decree that can't be repealed, that if you did not obey this law, you'd be thrown into a den full of hungry lions. They had some weird punishments back then, but
yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he wasn't going to change his ways because of that, because he valued God more than his own life. You know, the thing that's funny about that to me is, these guys knew Daniel so well that they were like, "We don't even have to make this a law forever. Make it for 30 days, and it will happen. He's going to go up there and pray and get thrown into the lion's den. Then this guy who's annoying us with all his success will be gone and out of the way."
Yeah.
And it took him, what, one day? So, you know, Daniel could have thought a lot of things. He could have thought, "I'll just close my window. Like, I'll still pray. Nobody needs to know about it. It's me and God." But he's like, "No. Like, it's me and God. I'm going to open the window." And the other thing he could have thought, you know, I could see if it were me struggling with the idea of like, "All right, God, we're going to put this on hold for 30 days. That way I can be alive and still serve you." You know, we could rationalize it to the point where it makes sense to us to put it on hold.
Right.
But that's not what he was about. See, Daniel understood what's important. He knew that God is good. God is God. And if you put God first, everything else will take care of itself. And, you know, so I was trying to think of something like, how could we relate this to our lives? And obviously the same rule applies in our lives too. But one thing I thought about is in our families, I've been learning over the last, you know, almost six years, you know, if you want to learn how selfish you are, you should get married.
Yeah.
You will immediately learn how selfish you truly are. And then if you want to, you know, raise the bar a little, start having some kids. And you will learn, you know, how even more selfish you are.
Come on.
But that's the thing, you know, with little Haley, one of the things that I found that's very profound that I didn't even realize is it is still most important to love my wife. You know, if I take care of my wife and I take care of her emotional needs, my family is going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
We have to love our spouse more than our children, our jobs, more than anything, and the rest will take care of itself. And Daniel had the same perspective with God. So here's a slide here. This is kind of the things that I'm trying to get away from here. Says, "Ladies, if a man says he'll do something, he'll do it. You don't need to keep reminding him every 6 months about it. I mean, come on." But the reality here, and this is what we've learned, I don't know if you've seen The Help, it's a good movie, but this is how parents feel. You is broke, you is tired, you is a parent. So it's so important to take care of each other, and it's really important to take care of your relationship with God.
Yeah.
And Daniel got that down. So another way that he showed his love for God is that, as we read in that scripture, it was his custom. It said he got down on his knees and prayed, as was his custom. So it's not like this edict came out and he's like, I'll show you. This was his everyday life. You know, he knew that he needed, and actually said three times a day, which I think is why he was such a stud. You know, he spent so much time with God that he had an awesome perspective. And instead of going around thinking he's awesome all the time, he knew like, God here, me here. He was a humble guy.
Come on.
So we need to have this habit as well, you know? Like this meme here. I started walking around without any shoes, and it sort of became a hobbit. I warned you guys. So what can we apply from his story about how to love God? The two things that I'd want us to walk away from this with is we need to value God over anything else in our lives.
Amen.
You know, what's the competition for knowing God in your life? You know, if we're not spending time with God every day, we need to shuffle our priorities around.
Yeah.
So I want us to ask ourselves today, what's getting in the way? Is it our job? Is it our me time? Could even be your family. You know, we talked about in our families, we need to have our spouses first. But in our life, we need to have God first.
Come on.
Right. Nothing can compete with it. You know, it's the best thing that we have, and we need to guard that relationship just like Daniel did.
Amen.
The other thing is, we need to just set aside time every day to spend time with God. Make that our custom. Moving right along. So the next thing we're going to talk about is, how did Daniel show his love for others? And the thing that really struck me is he cared for people that were not his own. If you remember from the beginning of this message, you know, Daniel lived during a time of exile in Babylon. And out of all those guys they mentioned, those satraps and those governors, there were only three other guys from Judah that they mentioned with him. And so, you know, it could be easy for him to feel like, you know, have you heard that saying, not my circus, not my monkeys? You know, like, this is not my people. But that's not the perspective he had. And if we turn over to Jeremiah 29:7, I feel like this is the perspective that Jeremiah was a prophet that lived during the same timeline as Daniel, and I think they had a similar perspective. 29 verse 7 says, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Daniel had that down. You know, he knew that it was God's plan for him to be there. And similar to that, you know, we have situations in our lives. You know, I don't know about you guys, but it's easy for me to put people in boxes in my life. You know, it's easy to compartmentalize and think, this is my family, this is my church family, this is people at work, you know, or this is, you know, the person at the grocery store. And, you know, it's really easy for me to drop everything and help. If somebody in my church family needs help, I'm there. You know, I'll drop everything. But there's times where, you know, you'll meet somebody and they'll kind of say, like, I need your help. And you're thinking, like, Nick's over there. You can go talk to him. You know, he's a minister. He'll help you out. But Daniel didn't feel that way. You know, he genuinely loved the people and wanted them to prosper. And he understood that God placed him there and didn't question it. You know, and the thing about it, too, is it's a good thing that Daniel didn't, you know, I don't know about you guys, but he's an exile. And, you know, maybe he was thinking, I just want to go home to Jerusalem. And how many times have we thought, I just want a different job. I want a different situation. You know, I want a relationship. I want whatever, fill in the blank. And we could be discontent and not willing to do God's will. But the thing is, we're exactly where God wants us.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, if he would have had that rotten attitude, he would have missed those great opportunities that God put before him.
Right.
So we don't want to be like Chris Pratt from Parks and Rec. He says, I don't know who any of these people are, and at this point I'm too afraid to ask. We don't want to be like that. So the next point of him, how he showed loving others, he risked his life for these people. So, you know, even beyond caring for people that were not his people, he risked his life for them. So we're going back to that book of Daniel.
Come on.
Chapter 2. Here, starting in verse 5, the king was having an issue here, and he was calling on his wise men, but he was kind of I wouldn't be super pumped if this is what he said to me. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was, because he had some messed up dreams and he wanted somebody to interpret them, if you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. Sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me the gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. So basically what he's saying is, hey, I had a dream last night. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but if you can tell me what it is and explain it to me, I will reward you greatly. If not, I'm going to cut you up into little bitty pieces and burn your house down.
Bummer.
What a good king. If someone asked me that, I'd be like, how do I know what your dream was? You know, like, can I get some hints? Like, can we get 3 hints? But anyway, I wouldn't like that. That's not an ideal situation for me. And so the king was pretty upset when everybody was like, I'm not doing that. Like, no, no way. I won't even try to tell you what your dream was. So he was not too pumped about that. But Daniel, on the other hand, we'll pick it up in 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men. What a nice guy to go and approach. Hey, you the guy supposed to kill me? Can I talk to you for a minute? Anyway, he was appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. It's a solid start. Take me to the king and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And listen to this response. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. And then he proceeds to explain it. We're not going to go into that, but the point is, he stepped up to the plate, and he risked his life. You know, he could have been cut up into little bitty pieces. Even just, like, going up to the guy who's supposed to kill you, I'd probably be going away from the guy who's supposed to kill me and hiding somewhere.
Yeah.
But that's not the way that he was. And the thing about it is, we don't have that kind of pressure in our daily lives. You know, we just don't. We don't have anybody out to kill us, hopefully. I mean, if you do, talk to us. We'll pray for you. We'll try and figure it out. Don't know what you got yourself into. But, you know, he risked his life for his captors. And this is incredible to me. You know, he risked his life, and what he did is he loved the king with his actions.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary for us to do simple things to love people. Like I was talking about earlier, if someone approaches you that you don't know well, and they're like, oh, it's all falling apart, like I need your help, you're kind of like, whoa, you know, slow down. No. But, you know, maybe even at work, like, we don't want to share our faith, or we don't want to share our lives with someone because we don't, like, oh, what are they going to think of me? I don't know. But, you know, we can love people with our actions because God loved us with his actions and sent his son to die on the cross for us.
Come on.
Like, what do we have to lose, really?
Yeah.
So we should follow in his example because of he who risked everything for us on the cross.
Amen.
That would be Jesus. So sometimes risks are bad. You're tall enough, she said. It'll be fun, she said. I don't know if you can see this little girl's face right here. If you can't, there it is. So sometimes risks are bad. But we can risk loving people, right? Amen?
Amen.
We're tall enough. All right, moving on. So what can we apply from how Daniel loved other people in his life to our lives? You know, God has placed you, every one of you, into a specific job or situation, family, extended family, and, you know, I'm sure we all have neighbors around us that live near us. We go places where we frequent the same people. God put all that in motion.
Right.
You know, he determines how we're going to connect. What we can do is determine how we are going to risk and love with our actions. You know, we can use those opportunities just like Daniel did.
Amen.
You know, in our situation, if you're waiting for something to change, maybe it's not going to. So maybe we just take the best opportunity we've got, any opportunity we've got, and love those around us. You know, we can do that in any stage of life that we're in. Up next. You know, the last thing that we're talking about in these Lego stories is sharing the good news.
Come on, Jay.
And so let's look at Daniel and how he did this. If we open up Daniel chapter 2, going back. How you guys doing so far?
Let's go, Jay.
Everybody with me?
Come on, man.
All right, Daniel 2. We're going 26 and 27. We already read this. You know, when the king asked Daniel, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? We've already stated that Daniel's a really smart guy. He says, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain the mystery you have asked, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." And so God had given him the ability. You know, he already had the ability. I get this impression that he already knew the dream. He already knew what it meant before he walks in the room. But rather than going in there and saying, like, "What's up, I'm Daniel, I'm that awesome guy you like, let me tell you about your dream," he points right back to God.
Yep. Yeah.
Come on. And, you know, again, he had such a good perspective that he always, you know, he was the most successful guy in the kingdom. And he was foreign, like, you know, he came in from outside. So instead of like, you know, "Yeah, look at me, I'm awesome," he would always point right back to God. And sometimes we can kind of be the opposite, you know, like, "Did it work? Then yeah, it was my idea." But, you know, he didn't have that attitude. You know, the other thing that he had going for him, and I think that this is maybe something we don't talk about often, but there's another way to share our faith that maybe we don't think about, and that's just through sheer integrity.
Yep.
You know, if you live your life a certain way and you live solid with God, people notice.
Come on.
And in his situation, people especially notice. You know, they're saying, "We're going to throw you in a den full of lions if you pray to anybody but King Darius." And he's like, "Nope, I'm going to go pray to God." Because he had integrity. You know, he wasn't going to change what he did because of what other people around him did.
Yep.
And so he did. You know, we're not going to read that part of the story, but he got thrown into the den full of lions. And it talks about how they didn't feed these lions, they kept them hungry. And Daniel, he didn't get thrown in. He kind of like, he was like, "All right, I'll go." Because he had that much integrity. You know, and that came why? Because his coworkers, if you will, they knew exactly how he would behave. They knew his integrity. They literally called his integrity a weakness. Let it be said of us that our integrity is a weakness. Amen?
Come on.
You know, he went in the lion's den. And let's read what happened after. So ultimately, if you don't know the story, he doesn't get eaten. God pulls him out. He spends the whole night in a den full of hungry lions, and he's fine. He comes out without a scratch. So let's read the result. What can happen if we have integrity? So in Daniel 6:23 says, "The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children." Again, like really weird laws back then. Rough. Before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones. Then King Darius, so that's kind of like the downer. Now let's go to the high note here. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout his entire land, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves, performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, and he has rescued Daniel from the power of lions." So, think about it. Think about it like your best day ever sharing your faith. It can't be as good as Daniel's day here. You know, he spent this awful night with lions, but he comes out, and the king literally tells his entire kingdom, "You have got to respect Daniel's God."
Yep.
You know, above all gods. And you know, it doesn't really go into what Daniel was thinking before he goes in the lion's den, but I'm not super sure that I don't think he was sure that he was going to come out. I just think just like he knew the law was to not worship anybody but the king, and he knew he was going to worship God, I think he said, "Hey, I'll worship God and I'll go die. Like, that's me. You know, that's what I'm about." And so he didn't even expect God, potentially, to save him. And he just went with it because he's like, "God's in control, God is good, and this is my custom." And so he just knew that he was going to do what was right. And, you know, God worked it out so that King Darius, as a result, his mind was blown. Like, why wouldn't it be? And so the whole kingdom was affected by his actions. So here's your pun for that one. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't hungry.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually kind of hungry now, myself, so. So, you know, I want to share a story about someone I know who has integrity, and since it's Mother's Day, I actually got two moms. I'm married and got another mom,
yeah.
And that's Dee. And she has So much integrity. You know, she's the same person in the church as she is. I'm going to tell you a story. Actually, before Brooke's wedding, we were celebrating in a hotel room. And if this doesn't show you her integrity, I don't know what will. We were, like, celebrating. So we got out a bottle of champagne. And I don't know whose bright idea it was, but they're like, hey, maybe it was mine. I don't even know. It was like, hey, open that bottle of champagne. So I was like, I got you. So I proceed to, like, you know, I'm getting the cork out, and it's kind of stuck. And I'm like, you know, just getting it, and all of a sudden it pops out, and like me and Kurt are watching it, like dum, 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 like literally like a cartoon. And all of a sudden you just hear, and Dee goes, ow! Hit her right in the head. And you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm no longer part of this family. Like, oh, I think I killed her. Like, this is bad. And Kurt's laughing really hard. It's nice for once he's not. Well, I guess he was kind of laughing at me because he's like, oh my gosh, you're in deep water. And, you know, Dee kind of rubbed her head, and it hurt. You could tell it hurt really bad, but there was no foul language. There was nothing like that. I'm pretty sure she gave me a hug. I was like, what? And, you know, she still not only tolerates me, but loves me as one of her own children. So, you know, sometimes in public, people can't, like, people don't know us. They just think I'm one of the bunch. And that's just kind of how it is.
Come on.
So, you know, I just really appreciate your integrity. Thank you for that. And I don't think I gave her brain damage, so. So what are you known for? You know, Daniel was known for his integrity. They knew that, I don't know if they knew the times, like, bam, he's going to be on his knees praying every day, three times. So what are you known for at work? You know, what do you want to be known for at work? You know, maybe you're this guy. You know, I don't always fart at my desk, but when I do, everyone wants to come talk to me. That's just unlucky. moving on.
Come on.
So, you know what Daniel was known for is he was very successful. You know, he worked hard. It says that when they tried to find fault in him, they couldn't find fault. You know, think about your job and think about, you know, when, you know, those rules that are just so silly and take extra time so you cut a corner or, like, he did none of that. He was known for his integrity.
Come on.
And, we're going to turn over to Colossians, chapter 3.
Come on, Jay.
Let's go, Jay.
All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It reads, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So, you know, I think Daniel got this. You know, I'm not working. I mean, you could tell because he opened his windows towards Jerusalem, right? You knew he wanted to be home. He longed to be back in Jerusalem. But instead, he worked to his best ability under his not ideal life. And he did his best. And he, you know, he was so highly respected. You know, it says he set himself apart so much that he wanted to put him in command of his entire kingdom. And so, whatever your job is, whatever you do, I want to challenge us all this morning, be the best at it. Not in a prideful way, but because you serve God. You know, work as if you're serving Christ.
Amen.
Because really you are. And people will notice. You know, I can't think of a better example of this than Daniel. And so we need to work as hard as we can to glorify God. Because that's what it's all about. We have to try to keep a good attitude too. He says, "My face when the laziest coworker complains about working so hard." I struggle with this. But, you know, we need to give that up and just love people. We need to risk love and action, right? So what can we apply from his story about sharing the good news? You know, we need to share our abilities to the best of our ability. And we need to have integrity and always point back to God.
Yeah.
You know, when we live our lives and give our talents to God, whatever it is that we're doing, people notice. And when someone's passionate about something, it's contagious. We want to be a part of that. We admire that trait in them when someone is very passionate. You know, this gives us a chance to be noticed, and then just like Daniel, point back to God. So in closing, Daniel passed us the torch of loving God and others every day, and we want to do the same. So let's take that torch, you know, as we go this week, whatever it is that we're doing, let's take that torch and shine brightly to glorify God.
Amen.
And that's all, folks.
Amen. Thanks, Jake.